Minnesota Progressive repartee on your Monday afternoon. Brett joined by Eric and Kate, who will be taking over the control board in just a few minutes. But first up, Eric, how you doing in there?
I'm doing great.
Enjoying the great weather. I know you're not
Beautiful out.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're not much of a baseball guy, so you probably don't really care about the Twins tonight, but yeah.
I'm following it.
Oh, you are following it.
Okay. I'll follow the playoffs. I just can't handle the like two-day
fair weather
games.
Fan. Yeah.
I'm very fair weather.
Yeah, you picked a bad time to start watching them. I'm not optimistic about how things are going to be going tonight.
It's looking ugly.
But we shall see. Twins playing tonight, and yeah, definitely we shall see how that goes. I'm very happy that at least if they do make it to a Game 5 on Thursday, that will be on the road, because that would be a disaster if you had the Trump rally and a Twins playoff game on the same night. That would be an absolute circus in downtown Minneapolis. So thank you, Twins, for not winning home field advantage. Hey, happy to bring up, we have a special guest in studio, State Senator Steve Swazinski from Senate District 48, representing areas of Minnetonka and Eden Prairie. And Senator Swazinski, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the politics, got to ask, you've been following the baseball playoffs much at all?
Or are
you
not much? I have, yeah, those first two games. The first beginning of the first one was great, and then it just went downhill from there, and they haven't seemed to recover yet. But tonight, we'll bring another night.
I'm hoping they can, bring home a win. But as I was saying, man, I am so glad there's no other events going on in Minneapolis on a Thursday night. Just mixing a very contentious political rally with a sporting event, that seems like a recipe for some high tension. So, thank you, Twins, for having being on the road. So how have you been doing lately? I know you're out of session right now, but obviously plenty to talk about with a possible special session coming up. But enjoying the summer, talking to constituents and...
Yeah, I had a great summer. A lot of constituent concerns out there. Same issues, opioid addiction, funding for schools, mental health. Mm-hmm. But I visited a place in St. Paul, set aside for young girls that are victims of sex trafficking and little things like that that you do in the interim, places you visit, and just, man, there's a lot of cool people out there doing a lot of good things to help our species.
And as we were talking before we came on, that's one of the things you like about your job, because I don't often hear this from politicians saying, I love almost everything with my job, because a lot of them sometimes when you speak to them, I'll say, well, I mean, obviously, they won't say this on air when you're talking to them on the record. They'll say, oh, I can't stand the fundraising. I can't stand doing so-and-so. But you actually love your job as a state senator.
I do. I'm one of the lucky ones. I love teaching 33 years, and now I love this. The last 3 years, there's some really, really wonderful people at the state capitol doing a lot of wonderful things for the people of Minnesota. And it's just a joy and a pleasure to be part of their lives and what they do for
us. And it's something, you normally wouldn't be able to do as a high school teacher, going around and just talking to these different groups and figuring out some of the issues we have here in Minnesota and why they need to be addressed.
Yeah. I mean, every time you meet with a constituent or lobbyist, all they're trying to do is educate you on the issues and trying to make you a better senator. And so all these people are out there trying to make me do my job better. And it's just a joy. It's just, I tell people it's like being back in college, except this time I want to learn everything.
Absolutely. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So we're hoping to have you on a somewhat regular basis, although I know you're
an honor.
Yeah, and you're, of course, a very busy person being in the state Senate. You never know when things can pop up.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to make it a somewhat regular thing where we'll have you in studio on Mondays. And if you're listening out there, you might remember the old Brunch with Bernie's on the Tom Hartman program. Kind of what I'm hoping to bring with these... We got to come up with a tagline for this. Brunch with Bernie sounded great. I don't know what we would call a Monday thing with Steve Swazinski.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, we got to come up with a little tagline.
Something with SWAD.
Yeah, a SWAD something.
Yeah.
There's really no food or meal that rhymes with SWAD, though, unfortunately.
No. We're going to work on that. Okay.
Either way, though,
a caller will suggest.
If you do have an idea, absolutely, because we want to make this similar to Brunch with Bernie. Now I'm already messing it up. Yeah, Tom wasn't on that early in the morning. We're We'll take any of your questions just about politics in general, what's going on at the state legislature, how the process works, because it's very easy, I think, and you might agree with this too, Senator Swazinski, is that it's easy when you look at politics just to look at it from the national level with what's happening with the presidential administration, whether that's Trump or before him, Obama, or when you're going back to the Bush years. It's very easy to kind of follow along with what's happening at the national level, especially with the presidency, and even at the congressional level. But once you start talking about local politics and even at the state level, what's happening in the state legislature, unfortunately, a lot of people don't exactly follow along. When they head into elections, they'll say, well, I guess I'll vote for this person because he sounds nice. But there's there's a lot that actually goes into the state legislature, and I think it really impacts everyone's day-to-day life much more than what happens in Congress at the federal level.
Oh, yeah, no question. When I taught American government, 99% of the curriculum revolved around the federal government, the executive branch, the judicial branch, the legislative branch. Never talked about Hennepin County commissioners or, Met Council or state and local government or the mayors of these fine cities out in the state. And so, yeah, I agree 100% with you.
952-946-6205. Again, give us a call if you have any questions, 952-946-6205. So I do want to spend a brief portion of the first part of our show, unless anyone wants to call in and talk about other topics, because you, of course, as we brought up, a former government teacher at Eden Prairie High School for many, many years. In fact, you were my government teacher way back in 2004, which is just shocking to believe that was 15 years ago. Wow, time certainly flies.
Well, you haven't aged.
Yeah,
thank you very much. You look great, is what I was getting at.
I'll take that compliment as well. Yeah, definitely. But you, of course, have a perspective about teaching people how government works. And what I want to get to is that we, of course, have the president coming to town on Thursday, and we're expecting a lot of people to be there, some supporting him, some there as protesters. So what I would ask you, what would you encourage your students to take away from these protests slash rallies? Would you encourage them to go just to experience it, whether they are protesting the president or there to support him? What would you be teaching your students?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as you may remember, I used to always tell my students, don't let school get in the way of your education. And I meant exactly that. I meant get out there and see the world. There's all these people going to be in downtown Minneapolis on both sides of the aisle making their voice be heard. And it's just great. And it is tough. You know, as a government teacher, the president of the United States right now, you know, he's going through, they're drawing up articles of impeachment. It's only happened once in the first 200 years of American history. And now this is the third time in my lifetime that the House is doing this. And so, but, you know, when President Bush came to the high school, I introduced him, even though most of my teacher colleagues, you know, said, what are you doing? You know, he's the worst thing that ever happened to education. And but he was the president of the United States, and he is the president. And so, but if you are in town on Thursday, I would encourage all the listeners out there, either go downtown and sit on one side of the aisle or another just to experience what's going to happen down there. Because regardless, it'll be interesting.
It would have been interesting, too, to also have you as a teacher during the Trump years, because as we were talking, you, of course, started running for state senate in 2016. And at that point, the campaign was ramping up, but not quite anything like we saw later in 2016 or even, of course, as we've seen since he's become president. I don't know how anyone would teach government at that point, because you would have to agree it would be a much more challenging experience with just all of the extra partisanship we see.
I think a lot of teachers, certainly the ones I've talked to, have kind of backed off on teaching the presidency current events-wise, just because they just don't know what to do and they can't present both sides, because sometimes there aren't two sides of some of the things he tweets and says. And so I think some people are just throwing up their arms and saying, I can't present the other why he's saying and doing what he's doing, and so I'd rather say nothing than...
It's an entirely different era because, as you say, you can't really present two sides to a lie. It's either a lie or it's not a lie. And, of course, you could get half your class, maybe more, maybe less, saying, well, that's not what I've been told from the president or what I've been told from people around me who believe a certain way. That would certainly make things very, very tough. Do you even remember, going back to when you're teaching, having this sort of partisanship at any point, not necessarily sustained like we have today, but at any point back when you were teaching,
you know,
any period where we had hyper-partisanship.
I remember in 1998, the governor's race, Coleman and Humphrey and Ventura, that was getting kind of ugly towards the end, you know, just because of Ventura throwing his hat in the ring and mixing things up. And so it made it a lot more difficult to teach. But no, I don't know what's happened in the last few years, but and whether or not it's Trump or us or whatever, you know, somebody once said, you get the republic you deserve. And so I don't know, but it's he's something, and he's he's making I just hope the youth out there start either joining in for President Trump or against him. But regardless, I think the youth are getting galvanized right now. And I think we're going to see a lot more youth getting involved because there's some issues that they feel, the old farts like me, have kind of dropped the ball on. So we'll see what happens with that.
Right. So, of course, we are going through an impeachment period right now. I'm not going to ask for your opinion on that, but I want to ask,
I'd give it.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I think the House is doing exactly what they should do because it's their responsibility. And, it, you know, Article 2 of the United States Constitution says the president can be impeached for treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors, which at the time the Constitution was written meant misdeeds. And I think the argument could be made he has committed those things.
So let's go back to when you were teaching about the 1998/99 impeachment of Bill Clinton. What do you remember teaching about that and kind of what the environment was like as you were trying
Yeah, it was so interesting because my students couldn't understand what the big deal was. Because to them, it was just it was a so-called sex scandal. And they didn't understand, or many people didn't understand, it was actually an act of perjury. He said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman under oath, which is perjury. And at that time, there were four people in federal prison in America for committing perjury. So to let the president, so-called, off the hook for perjuring himself, I don't think they could have done that. But the kids were flabbergasted that it was even something, they didn't think it was even worth discussing in class because they didn't think it was an issue at all. Both sides of the aisle felt that way. They just didn't understand what the big deal was, but it was. He committed perjury, but I think it played out as it should.
Yeah, and obviously an entirely different scenario than what we're seeing today with much more serious charges. It's not lying about a sex scandal. It's much more serious when you're
And he was trying to protect his family in defense of Clinton. I'm not trying to defend him, but he was trying to protect his loved ones from finding out what he did.
It was a little more embarrassing.
Right, exactly. And this is just egregious, I mean, a clear misconduct of the President of the United States. And I'm frustrated that he still hasn't released his tax returns.
Yeah.
He promised to do that in the debates with Hillary, and he hasn't done that, and I don't know.
You know what scares me about his tax returns is that I feel like it's a little bit of a double-edged sword for Democrats because if you actually get these tax returns released, you're only going to see the amounts of money that he's actually making. You're not going to see where the money is actually coming from. I feel like the only thing he's actually afraid of what's in these tax returns is that they're going to show he doesn't have as much money as he actually claims. Because I feel like some people are pinning their hopes with these tax returns saying, well, oh, we're going to see that he's getting money from Russia or other ex-federal governments around the world, and you're generally not going to see that in your tax returns. Just for my 1 year doing tax accounting out of college. A little bit of a mistake, but there you go. I enjoyed my time. Got a little good experience with that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if we ever see those returns because I just think with the size of the man's ego, that's what I think he's afraid of is that we're going to find out, hell, he's not a billionaire. He might not even be that much of a millionaire. So we shall see what happens if those ever come to light. But as you said, he promised that back in 2016, and we're still waiting, aren't we?
Yeah.
952-946-6205. Tell you what, we're going to take a break and come back and talk to our buddy Randy in Coon Rapids. He's actually one of our conservative callers, and I believe he has a question or comment for us. So, Randy, hang on the line. We'll get to your call up next, as well as anyone else who wants to chime in. 952-946-6205.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall and Power Radio Hour this weekend. My guest for the whole show is Mr. Charles Pierce. He writes for Esquire.com, a great liberal blogger and writer, also a Twitter maniac. He's been on the show 5 or 6 times, and he always brings a little progressive sanity to the show. It's going to air this Saturday night at 6 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We're not just another print shop. We give back to the community and stand up for racial, social, and economic justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned and proud union shop in the state. We're community involved and have over 100 years of industry experience. We believe our employees are vital to our success. That's why we pay a living wage with benefits.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I chose Minuteman Press because they match the values of our business. Their design team took our vision and idea and turned them into a beautiful, professional printed marketing piece on time as promised. They can help your business, nonprofit, or political campaign with printing, direct mail, signs, or other promotional needs that will help grow your organization. Call the printing company AM 950 Trust, Minuteman Press Uptown, at 612-870-0777 or find them online at mpuptown.com.
Thank you, Minnesota, for making Warner Stellion your appliance specialist for over 65 years. For a limited time, enjoy anniversary savings of over 35% on select KitchenAid dishwashers, plus free installation. Buy a new laundry pair for as low as $4.99 each, including trusted fast free delivery, basic installation, and haul away. Or replace all of your kitchen appliances and save big. Warner Stellion has more suites than you can count, but only for a very limited time during the 65th anniversary sale at Minnesota's own appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett Johnson joined live in studio by State Senator Steve Swazinski, representing District 48, Minnetonka and Eden Prairie. Kind of a funky district in how some of these lines are drawn, not just yours, but somehow we at the station, I don't think we're actually in your district. We're like a block away, aren't we?
You are not in my district.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other side of the street is.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, if you end up winning re-election in 2020, I want to hear how this actually works with redistricting, because you guys, of course, are going to be in charge of drawing these lines. And I'm always curious how, like in District 3, there's a weird little dip between 3 and I think it's District 5, where like there's one little indent of Edina that goes into District 3 when the rest of it all goes into 5. So I'm always curious how the legislature comes up with their different motivations for making these lines. Partisan in some cases.
Yeah, I hope to learn how that process works. And hopefully the people of Senate District 48 send me back for another couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping so too, because I'm a political nerd, so I'm fascinated by redistricting because it has such a massive impact on what's happened. I mean, it's the whole reason why we basically had a GOP House for 8 years is because we had partisan gerrymandering. And of course, here in Minnesota, we were 9,000 votes away. If Mark Dayton had lost, we likely would have had very partisan gerrymandered lines here in Minnesota. I was actually looking at these. MinnPost put out what the lines would have looked like if the Republicans had been able to draw those back in 2010. And wow, it's kind of a wild world. Basically, CD8 would have looked entirely different. I know the Metro would have looked completely different. I think they would have basically had two DFL districts safe, and then the rest would have gone the Republican way. So, yeah, definitely want to hear from you. Hopefully when you go back to the Senate, how that process works.
I think
works.
That would have happened, what you just said, in the metro area.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's go to Randy in Coon Rapids, our resident conservative caller. We'll wait for Kate to bring him up there as we have a little on-air production meeting, getting Kate trained in for her first day here on the board. I think we got Randy with us now. Hey there, Randy. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're going to love me, aren't you?
I don't know. I hope so.
Well, I just wanted to call because, you know, I've been listening for the last week or two, you know, to both sides. I try to listen as much as I can on both sides of the aisle of what people are saying and stuff. And, you know, it just seems like we've reached a day and age, and maybe I've just been, you know, hiding. I haven't heard, but it's like a fact. Isn't it even really a fact anymore when someone says, well, that's a fact? Well, now it's a fact at how you look at that fact, because you could have two people looking at the same fact, and there can only be one thing, but each person looks at it in a different way. Well, that's a fact because I'm looking at it at this way. And I'm kind of referring to the whole Joe Biden and Donald Trump situation that's going on, that everyone's looking at what they're calling facts, and they're saying, oh, it's just egregious of what Donald Trump says. Well, if they didn't, and I'm not a huge researcher, I'm not a private investigator or anything, and if someone of my caliber can listen and figure this stuff out, you'd think that people in higher up in government would be able to figure this stuff out. When it comes to Donald Trump, what he did when he made these phone calls was the law. If you look back in 1999, was it 99 that Clinton was in?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's back when Clinton was in office. They signed an agreement with a few different countries, and one of them just happened to be the country that Donald Trump was talking to, that as far as government corruption and stuff, we have there's a law that Donald Trump did exactly what he should have done, was contact them with Joe Biden, because we've got Joe Biden on tape. I sat and watched the tape saying and bragging about the very things that they're blaming Donald Trump for doing. But yet they're saying, well, gee, we haven't found anything confirmed on Joe Biden. We think that, you know, as far we haven't found any. If I found information, how come the government can't find information? He's literally on tape saying, telling them that we're not going to give you any money until this prosecutor is fired. I'm only going to be in this country for 6 hours, and he needs to be fired before I leave, or you're not getting the money. And another gentleman says, well, you're not the president. And Joe Biden says, well, you call the president and he'll tell you the same thing, which that would be Barack Obama. And just so happens this prosecutor that was supposed to be getting fired, that Joe Biden wanted fired, was the prosecutor looking into the company, which his son.
A quick note there, Randy. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he was being pressured to be fired, but that wasn't just us. That was basically every Western democracy that was pushing for this guy to be fired, because if anything, as I read into this, I know what you're referring to is that he was actually prosecuting people. I think it was either too much or too little. Obviously, it was one of those two, but it was a weird reason. It was actually multiple countries that were pressuring him to be fired from his position. So, Randy, going to let you go. Definitely appreciate
Can I just weigh in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Randy, you know, it's interesting listening to you. You know, as a kid that grew up watching Walter Cronkite, because that's who everybody watched. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all united around his message. And I think it's sad. I hope the pendulum has swung as far as it's going to swing towards. We all get our information now from media that is either favors our, you know, what we believe already or what we disagree with. And it'd be nice if Americans all got behind the same set of facts, I guess. And I don't know if we ever will again, but I have faith that we will.
And being, of course, an elected official that serves in the state Senate, I'm sure you've run into this situation many times where you have some of your colleagues who see a set of facts as, well, not actually being facts. Yeah. And it's got to be tough when you sit there and think, well, if you're looking out there and saying the sky is blue and they're saying the sky is red, it does kind of make things challenging to actually have a debate about the issues when someone says, no, the sky isn't blue, it's red. Where do you actually go from there?
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I know on Education Committee in particular, one of the committees I'm on, the we have testifiers come in and talk about what's going on in our schools, and they're not teachers. Mm-hmm. They're not in the classroom teaching. And it just strikes me as so odd that we so rarely hear that those facts coming from the people literally in the classroom. And so,
Interesting. Yeah, you would think you would probably want to hear from people who are actually in the classroom when it comes to education policy. Right. 952-946-6205. Tell you what, we're going to take another break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit what's happening, of course, with the big issue at the state legislature, and that is insulin. Are we eventually going to see emergency insulin funding? There's rumors that we're going to have a special session. So I want to get your thoughts on that, Senator Swazinski, and also talk a little bit about the prospect of having a special session, this Republican proposal. So definitely want to get to that. But first, let's play our newscast from the Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 7th, 2019. I'm Mary Sherman. Some divisive cases are on tap for the Supreme Court's new session, and a top automaker calls for progress on a new trade deal with Canada and Mexico. The Supreme Court starts its first full term with two of President Donald Trump's appointees. The court will hear cases regarding gay and transgender rights, deportation protections, and gun regulations. On Friday, the justices added an abortion case, the first since Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation, created a stronger conservative majority. A senior member of the House Democratic Caucus says they have the 217 votes needed to pass articles of impeachment against President Trump stemming from his Ukraine call, even before their planned hearings or formal investigation. Lawyers representing the whistleblower in the case against the president say a second whistleblower has come forward, also an intelligence official who has spoken to the inspector general. Talks continue at the Minnesota Capitol on how to get insulin into the hands of those who need it but can't afford it. Mike Moen reports.
The average insulin price has risen 55% since 2014, according to GoodRx. Minnesota lawmakers are trying to address the price hikes, but the GOP-led Senate and the DFL-led House have different views on the best approach. Kim Munson is with the Minnesota chapter of T1 International, a group that advocates for people with type 1 diabetes. She says if lawmakers fail to agree and take a vote in special session, waiting until the regular session next spring could be devastating.
First off, we will know more people are going to be rationing their insulin. My biggest fear would be that we will see another death like we did over the summer with Jesse Rancliffe. Boy who died over the summer.
GOP leaders are pushing a proposal that calls on drug makers to provide free insulin supplies for up to a year for those who meet income requirements. DFL lawmakers want to allow emergency supplies without a waiting period to determine eligibility. I'm Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
According to a report last year from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the global food system could be responsible for as much as 37% of human-induced greenhouse gas emissions. Shefali Sharma with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy says governments subsidize products such as feed for factory farms, driving up emissions and forcing farms to get big or get out. She notes recent government aid to struggling farmers is due to trade policies and the low cost of production set by Big Ag.
The reason the subsidy system is in place in the first place is because very few companies set a price at artificially low costs. And so if we stopped doing that, we wouldn't have to have the subsidies. And I think most farmers would say we'd rather be paid the cost of production plus a reasonable profit rather than having to take this.
Shefali says the recent farm bill subsidized feeds such as corn and soy, benefiting industrial farms. For Minnesota News Connection, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Former President Jimmy Carter is recovering at his home in Plains, Georgia after suffering a fall Sunday. The 95-year-old received stitches above his brow. The 39th Commander-in-Chief is the longest-living U.S. president in history. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener-supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's idealist is Fannie Mae Hamer, a Mississippi woman who worked to register African-American voters in the 1960s and who paid a huge price for doing so. The big interview is about the Emmett Till Interpretive Center in Sumner, Mississippi. You hear about this incredible center commemorating what some have called the ground zero of the civil rights movement. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, clear skies with a low around 48. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 71 and a low around 53. Wednesday, a 50% chance of rain and thunderstorms with a high of 71 and a low around 53.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's Fall Into Savings Sale can help you rake in at least $1,600 in savings on a new high-efficiency furnace. Don't wait. This offer ends October 31st. Learn more about this great deal at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating, comfort you deserve.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It is Brett, joined by Eric and also Kate on the other side of the glass, and also very happy to have State Senator Steve Swazinski live in studio with us, representing District 48, which is portions of Eden Prairie and Minnetonka. No other towns in there, is there?
You know, it's funny. There's a little piece of Chanhassen.
Really?
But
okay.
There's no residents.
Wait,
so it's like we're Lotus and Haskell's,
mm-hmm.
and or what used to be Haskell's,
yeah.
over there. So that little chunk of the business sector is in my district, but yeah, it's never mentioned.
So it's never residents that are live there. It's actually a business that's
right.
in there. Yeah,
right. But otherwise, it's all Eden. About 80, about 95% mm-hmm. of Eden Prairie, and about 40% of Minnetonka.
That goes back to drawing those boundaries.
Yeah,
like you could end
yeah.
up representing an area with literally nothing, like a swamp that's just from one town.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You
yeah.
can. So Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, and technically a little part of Chanhassen, yes.
Yeah, about 10 buildings.
About 10 buildings. Wow. I guess, oh, yeah, it makes sense if they're all commercial if no one lives
yeah.
there. Yeah, exactly. 952-946-6205. As I was saying, we're kind of making this our brunch with Bernie, but the more local version, your chance to ask a state senator anything. So love to take your phone calls here at AM 950, and we do have someone on the line. We got our buddy Gary from Minneapolis. Hey, Gary, I haven't talked to you in a while. What's on your mind today?
Well, somebody mentioned Cronkite, and Dan Lather was another one. We used to have real explicit news that went by the facts, and we didn't have Murdochs and Trump making up anything he wanted to, and the whole darn Republican Party saying global warming is a hoax and all that garbage. So these people, they fit their so-called news to fit their prejudices and their disbelief in something that's a major threat, like global warming is one example. And I'll tell you, maybe those people down in the Gulf Coast and Florida and Mississippi, those states that got hit by those extreme hurricanes that never happened before and getting hit a second time, they should start re-looking at who they're listening to. Because that's Murdoch, Jefferson or one of them said that's a threat to our democracy if we don't have informed public.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for the call. Always good to hear from you, and hopefully we'll see you at the next debate party coming up on Tuesday, October 15th. Gary, of course, one of our frequent listeners and one of the frequent people who goes to our party. So that's your chance to meet Gary because, Eric, you had a chance to dance with him at the Blue State Ball. You and Gary dancing. That's right, little belly dance thing. Anyways, though, let's get back to politics. So what
and
did you think about Gary?
I think Gary's call is right on. And there was a great speech that Edward Murrow gave in like 58, 59, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. And he literally predicted what's happening in America today by talking about the entertainment, if you will, of politics. Mm-hmm. And instead of the public discourse of intellectual conversations and presented with information and facts and data and making your political decisions based on that rather than the entertainment value of it. And so he predicted all that 60 years ago.
Wow, 60 years, yeah. I think, too, a big thing that happened with news as well was I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but they were saying as soon as the news became profitable, because before news divisions used to always run losses, and that was expected.
Right.
As soon as you expected a profit, that's when we started seeing problems with how, what the media decided to cover and not cover. We got a much different perspective.
Yeah, Ben Franklin, when asked about the new Constitution, he said, it's going to be a republic if you can keep it. And he had this in mind.
Mm-hmm. A republic. Yeah, he was the one that said that. A republic if you can keep it. Yep. And, boy, sometimes you sit there and wonder if we can keep it.
I think we will, but, you know, there's days where we've got to self-reflect.
Yeah.
And today's one of those days.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever the optimist, and I hope you're right. I think you're all right on that. I'm hoping we can get things maybe changed in the future with what's been happening in Washington and even at the local level as well.
We are one of the only other divided government in the country. So the federal government can look to Minnesota as the laboratory of democracy that we are, that we were able to get some good compromises done in the last session. And so
I got to ask you one question about that, because I do want to get to the insulin issue, but do you think we are at the point in this country where we will probably not see in any state legislature a divided government anymore? Because it seems like, both houses of a state legislature are always going to go to one party, depending on which way the political winds are blowing. I mean, you talk about safe states like a California, that's usually always going to be Democratic, or in Alabama, that's always going to be Republican. But even if you look at more swing states like a Wisconsin or an Iowa, I feel like both chambers are always going to go the way of one party. So I wonder if that kind of is a thing of the past.
Good question.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this last session with the House controlled by Democrats and the Senate by Republicans, just to watch that, for lack of a better phrase, that sausage-making process take
place. Yeah, it's different than other states where you can just have the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader just coming up with legislation themselves without much pushback, where now you have Melissa Horstman being forced to work with Paul Gazelka. Two people who I imagine have very different perspectives on how things should get done.
I think the world views are a little bit opposite.
Yeah, most certainly. 952-946-6205. So let's move on to insulin. What have you been hearing from your constituents as we've had this controversy happen, since it looked like we were going to get emergency insulin at the end of the last session, then turns out we're not getting that. Have you been hearing more from constituents saying that we need to get this emergency insulin passed, because maybe you're hearing personal stories of people saying, I can't afford insulin myself? What have you been hearing?
I had no idea there were that many people that were dependent upon insulin to keep their lives going. I was just really surprised. And so I have heard from a lot. And we just, neighboring district, one away, this young man, 26 years old, died because he had to ration his insulin. And there's that line line from the Talmud, he who saves one life saves the world entire. And I always think about that when I'm voting on bills. If we can save one life, then let's go for it. And we just got to figure out how to pay for it. And we'll work that out. The Republicans and Democrats can't agree on who should pay for that insulin to save people like Alex Smith's life.
Yeah, because I know that's certainly part of the dispute in terms of how it's going to be funded, where the Republicans want to take it from the – is it the medical device tax that I'm thinking of?
The Republicans I believe so. Yeah, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, and of course, DFLers want to have the funding from a different source. But I know there's also been a little bit of a dispute in terms of what each bill actually provides, where the GOP side is a little bit more about providing free insulin supplies for, I believe, up to a year for people who make certain income requirements. On the DFL side, they don't quite have those same income requirements. So I think the GOP bill certainly is a start. We've talked about it before, how it's moving in the right direction. The only concern I have is that it does seem you have to plan a little bit more ahead of time if you need emergency insulin, which is not, of course, always easy to do, to plan for emergencies. But I think it is at least a step in the right direction that they are coming to the table, and hopefully we can reach some sort of compromise on that.
Yes. Yeah, baby steps.
Baby steps, absolutely. Yeah, so we shall see what happens. Are you optimistic we can get something passed before the next session?
Or? Well, we have to wait. I mean, I hope and we all pray that no one, loses their life because of insulin between now and February 11th. But if we don't have a special session, I hope that first day the Senate and the House can go, let's get this done before we even discuss bonding or any other issues. And I have faith. And Walt said already, I'll sign whatever comes on my desk as long as saves people's lives.
Yeah, because that was really an ugly situation that we saw at the end of the session.
No, it was horrible.
Yeah, where we had Republicans saying, well, Democrats, you didn't submit your bill in time. Democrats saying, yes, we did. Yeah, that certainly had to have been a very tough time in there in the Senate because it seemed like we were going to have an agreement. Then all of a sudden it went away at the last second. So hopefully we're
– exactly what happened.
Yeah, Can we talk even a little bit about what happened from your perspective? I know you're just a first-term senator, but –
I know that Alex Smith's mom was up in the gallery during the debate, and it looked like it was going to pass, and it passed the House. And then, honestly, I don't remember if it was one of those 3 a.m. nights, but it never made it to Waltz's desk.
Mm-hmm. Because I've heard many conflicting stories on what happened. I know you're just a first-term senator, so you're not involved with the DFL leadership, who maybe have a little bit more of an inside perspective on what happened with the Republicans on their side. But, I was really bummed when I heard about that and kind of shocked that we didn't end up getting anything passed because it seemed like a very nonpartisan issue. Because
correct.
As we were talking about off air, most people there actually want to make the world a better place. It's just having a different perspective on how to get there. And
yes.
I think a lot of Republicans agreed that we do need to have this emergency insulin funding.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of Republicans and Democrats probably have diabetics in their family.
Right, exactly. So. Any specific senators you've been working with closely on insulin? I know Scott Jensen on the Republican side has been very active in terms of trying to get that funding. Have we seen?
Yeah, Matt Little from Lakeville, I think, is the person that's been spearheading this thing, at least keeping me informed and abreast on the issue.
952-946-6205. Man, time certainly flies. We only got about 10 minutes left in the show, and we still got to take one more commercial
break.
And
we haven't talked about vaping yet.
That's right. We still, I think, might have to get to that by the end of the show. Otherwise, maybe leave it for next Monday's program or the next time you're on. But tell you what, if you have a call and you want to talk to us about any specific issue, love to take your phone calls at 952-946-6205. Your chance to ask State Senator Steve Swann. Wozinski anything. We'll be back with him in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hello? Is anybody here? You there. I'm George Washington, here for the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Where is everyone?
It was moved, sir. Ben Franklin blasted out an event on Facebook and invited everyone to Independence Hall. Didn't you get it?
I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get blasted out on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. SocialMediaMN.com or 763-244-4058.
Hey, it's Brett from the 4 p.m. Repartee. AM 950 is having another debate watching party on Tuesday, October 15th, as this time we head to Burger Mo's in downtown St. Paul. I'll be there along with Matt and other AM 950 staff. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Tickets are only $15 if you order in advance or $20 at the door. Your ticket includes free light appetizers with a cash bar available. Again, that's AM 950's debate watching party on Tuesday, October 15th at Burger Mo's in St. Paul. Tickets at AM950radio.com.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. And we've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Do we have a call?
We indeed do have a call as we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hey, we got Randy in St. Cloud, different from Randy in Coon Rapids, who wants to talk about possibly having a state bank here in Minnesota, something that North Dakota does. So is that kind of along the lines of what you're thinking there, Randy?
Well, yeah, North Dakota is the only state that does it, and they did it back at a time when North Dakota was actually a fairly progressive state.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of advantages that could happen from having a state-run bank. And actually, it's discussed quite in depth on a Ralph Nader Radio Hour program that I heard on 95.
Mm-hmm.
Or 9:50 a.m. And I would suggest that the senator might go back and listen to that, because there's a woman, Ellen Brown, who's kind of like the guru of the idea of state banking.
Mm-hmm. There's
all kinds of funding ideas, and the bonding issues could be a lot less contentious. And we could stop giving all the money to people who cheat us, like fixing the LIBOR rates and a whole bunch of banking shenanigans, and we could just run it by the state.
I know the very basics about that, and it is something I would like to learn more about, Randy, but
me
I think
too.
The most interesting thing is that, yeah, Randy, you're talking about how it's the state of North Dakota, and even though it was passed during a completely different era, back when there was still kind of a populist movement in North Dakota, if you look today, there's no proposal from Republicans to actually get rid of the state bank in North Dakota, so which is very intriguing, because you would think that, well, if it were popular to get rid of it among their constituents, they would say, oh, well, let's go ahead and repeal that state bank. But Randy, as I'm sure you can agree with, that doesn't happen in North Dakota, does it?
No.
Yeah, they love their state bank up there.
Randy, in my 3 years in the state Senate, this is the first time I've heard anybody suggest this. So thank you.
You should absolutely check into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I will.
It's just such a, it's kind of, in my mind, it's a no-brainer that instead of paying 7, 8, 10% interest, and so much of the state budget goes to interest, just like so much of the federal budget goes to mm-hmm. interest on the debt. We could run our own bank. The feds should do it too. Mm-hmm. And they could, it used to be that the post offices could cash people's checks. So instead of all these BS, payday lenders, we could do it and not rip everybody off.
I was going to say, Randy, that's an interesting thing. Oh, I can't remember which program I heard that on, too, how, yeah, the post office actually, yeah, used to actually be set up
wow.
to bank, which if you look at some of the poorer areas of the country, whether that's urban or rural, yeah, you actually would have better options for trying to find loans, because if you go into a lot of inner cities especially, you don't really see a whole lot of actual banks. You just see payday lenders, and that's usually your only option
right.
to end up getting money lended to you is from people who are going to give you terrible double interest rates because it's a payday lender. And yeah, if you had that at a post office, which of course are mandated to be just about everywhere, that would of course change everything for sure. So yeah, some great thoughts there, Randy.
Yeah, I agree.
I would suggest that you do look up, because they did discuss that the post office used to cash checks on that Ralph Nader Radio Hour program. Mm. And I think you just look up state banking on Ralph Nader and you'd find it.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Randy. Hey, by the way, we got to get Ralph back on the program because thanks for the plug there, Randy in St. Cloud. You can, of course, hear the Ralph Nader Radio Hour every Monday morning here on AM 950, 6 a.m., and then replayed a little bit late at night over at 11 p.m. So, yeah, always some good information on his program. And hard to believe, we had him on a couple of years ago, Senator Swazinski. He is still out there running around, despite the fact that he's way up there in his 80s. No matter what you think of his politics, because I know there's certain Democrats who don't exactly like him throwing the election back in 2000 in the Bush versus Gore. But, yeah, he's still got great thoughts on some issues. And hard to believe, I'm hoping I'm as active as he is when I'm up there in my 80s.
You will be.
I'm hoping so. Exactly. Of course, you too as well.
I hope to be.
Maybe we'll even still have you in the state Senate or Oval Office, maybe? We're not going to announce anything. Steve Swazinski's 2036 presidential campaign.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so, though. I'm very happy where I'm at right now.
I'm trying to even do the math on that. I think you would still actually be younger than some of the current presidential candidates if you were to run in 2036.
I would be, actually. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Good math work. Yeah. That is nuts to think about how we do have some older candidates running, including an older guy who's even currently serving in the White House as well. Hey, let's go to one more phone call before we wrap up our show today. Let's go to Jennifer in Stillwater. Hey there, Jennifer.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on Randy in St. Cloud. Yeah, Bernie Sanders has been running on that both in 2016 and 2020, having a post office at the federal level bank. And then everybody could go do their banking at the post office, and then they wouldn't have to go to payday lender, predatory lenders. So, Bernie's totally got that in his plan.
Yeah, so. It's something I certainly want to look at. Yeah, because I know the fringes of that issue because I've heard it talked about many times. Of course, being the political nerd that I said, I'm mostly fascinated by the idea that North Dakota.
We prefer pundit.
Pundit, yes, yeah. Well, see, I'm a radio guy. I get to say nerd. But thanks so much for the call there, Jennifer, since we are approaching the end of the program. But yeah, I was always just fascinated by the politics of North Dakota, of all state, being the one area of the country that has some kind of socialist leanings back in their early 1900s. It's a very different political scene. Did you ever really get much into political history back when you taught government?
You know, in a national level.
Okay.
But never state. I mean, after the except for the Civil War.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it was a national thing.
Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating to look at how state politics works in some areas, like North Dakota, having such a populist streak because now it's such a Republican-leaning state. You certainly wouldn't picture them having a state bank.
But as you said, no one ever complained about this state bank.
Yeah, because you would think with the majorities they have, if they wanted to get rid of it, they certainly could. But I imagine that's probably a not very popular thing to do. Huh. Boy, we didn't even get to vaping, did we?
No, maybe that'll be next time.
We might have to talk about that next time.
And the boundary waters.
Boundary waters for sure, yeah. Certainly lots more to talk about when we have our still-to-be-named Mondays with Steve Swazinski. Mondays with Swad. We got to think of something.
Thanks,
there.
Brad.
Appreciate it. And thanks for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow here on the program.